Acts chapter 19. We're going to talk about something that's exorcism, actually, which is phony, by the way, Hollywood's phony version of deliverance. And because exorcism is talked about in the King James Bible, that word is used one time in the Bible. And about exorcist, I should say, that word is used. But there is a difference in exorcism and biblical deliverance of devils. There is a difference in those two. Because biblical deliverance of devils does take place. I mean, God, you will see, I think in time to come, you'll see it a lot more even. But we see devils manifest all the time out there on the streets. We know these people are devil possessed because we see what they do. I have no doubt in my mind that charismatic was devil possessed yesterday. I know he was. He came after the brethren and what he did. His attack was on the preaching of God's word. And he's used to people probably backing down from him and being like, okay, well, you know, and I didn't. And Aaron was like a bull charging and he pushed him out of there. Because Aaron said, you know what, the only way this guy's going to leave is if you push him out. Because you're not coming forward anymore. You're going back. You're leaving. And that's right. He did. He left. That's what he did, didn't he? Because he said, no, I'm just going to push forward. You know, you're getting out of here. You're leaving. Because see, they come, they want to stop the preaching of God's word. They want to hinder that. They're fine if you tell everybody Jesus loves you and hand out some of their little 1, 2, 3 pray after me tracts and all this stuff. They're fine with that, but they don't want you preaching. They hate preaching. When you see people that hate preaching, there's a reason for that. They hate it. They hate that lifting up of the voice and that preaching. The reason they hate it is because they are oppressed by devils, or they have one in them, or a few of them in them. Because it's not normal for a child of God, or somebody to say they're a child of God, to hate God's word and hate the preaching of it. Especially in the open air, when you see wickedness all around you. Everywhere wickedness abounds. And one man is standing up on a pulpit somewhere and preaching, and you claim to know Christ, and you want to stop that? Yeah, that's right. Transformed ministry. That's right. All right, Acts chapter 19. Well, we're going to see some more fake ones here. Verse number 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Well, I just want you to know that doesn't work that way, okay? So you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble like that, all right? Acts chapter 19, verse number 14. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Uh-oh. See, this is when somebody tries to take on religion, okay? They try to take on something they don't have, and they're going after it. You don't play around with devils like that. It's like going out to the street and not having the power of God, going out to the street and not having the promises of God. Or, you know, you're going to get ate up out there. You're going to get ate up out there without that. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I find it fascinating that you see what he did to those men. He made them naked and wounded. Now, devils love to be naked. I'm going to tell you what, they love promoting nakedness. And you can see you want to see a demonic society? Just look at America. It is a demonic society. You just walk around, everybody wants to be naked. I had to block a few people on my Facebook page. You know why I had to block them? Because this guy, you know what he told me? He's a born-again Christian, he says, and everything else. And hyper-Calvinist, I think. But anyway, he says he's a born-again Christian. And he says, there's nothing wrong with me walking around without any shirt on. There's nothing wrong with me walking around. That's only for women. Really? Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you have a desire to walk around naked? Could you answer that for me? Where do you think it's manly to walk around without a shirt on? Where do you get that from? Do you get that from the Bible? No, you get that from Hollywood. You get that from the movies. That's where you get that from. You get that from sports figures. You don't get that from the Word of God. There's nothing in the Bible that says you're supposed to walk around naked with no clothes on. People that are devil-possessed walk around naked without any clothes on. People that are led by devils walk around naked. And the devils like people that are naked. They love it. They love anything that mocks God. God says, be clothed. God clothed Adam and Eve, right? Clothed them, didn't he? Why? They were naked. But you're telling me that that same God wants you to walk around that way? No. That's not the Holy Spirit leading you to do that. But it says here, and the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So they fled out naked. They were destroyed. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't stand up to those devils. Why? Because they didn't have Christ. They weren't born again. They didn't have Jesus Christ. What were they trying to do? Perform an exorcism. But exorcism is really magic. It's witchcraft. That's what exorcism is. So let's look at the definition first. And then I'm going to show you in history. So you have to bear with me, okay? I'm going to show you a lot of history here today. And don't be upset. I understand that you know, this could be consuming a little, time consuming a little bit. But I want you to understand that exorcism that you see a lot of charismatic movements out there today that are supposedly deliverance ministries that are exorcists. You see the Roman Catholic Church. You see false religions that do the same thing. You see cults that do the same thing. They're talking about exorcism. That's not biblical deliverance. It's not. The definition of exorcism is the expulsion of evil spirits from persons or places by certain adjurations and ceremonies. Exorcism was common among the Jews and still makes a part of the superstitions of some churches. Now, the reason why Webster is calling that a superstition is because of the way they're doing it. Because that's not, well, there's other definitions. Here's another definition. One who expels demons from the use of magical formulas. In the strict etymological, did I say that right?
Yep.
All right. Since there is no exorcism in the Bible. He's right. There isn't. Positively, anyway. The term exorcist is used once in Acts 19:13 in a way to discredit the professional exorcist familiarly known both among Jews and Gentiles. See, the Bible is not condoning exorcism. What is it saying? In fact, it's reproving it and showing you the error of it. Because you see on the other end, you see devils being cast out by those that know how to deliver those devils from those people and be a part of that deliverance ministry. They understand that there is a difference in the two. Major difference in the two. One is the power of God. The other is working with devils. Right? What they accused Jesus of. They wanted to, why? They had to accuse him of it. All right, exorcism in ethnic and Jewish writings. I want to read you some things about that. Exorcism among ancient and primitive peoples rests largely upon faith in the power of magical formulas. By the way, this is from Jewish writings here, so you understand. I'm going to get to more Jewish writings. You're going to see that the Jews were heavily involved in Kabbalistic magic. They were heavily involved in formulas and spells and everything else. And that's why Jesus, when he looked at him, he said, "You are of the synagogue of Satan. You're a den of vipers. You're wicked." Who was he talking to? He was talking to those Kabbalistic Jews. The ones that were not following the word of God. They were following Babylonian traditions and Babylonian magic and other things. All right. Anyway, so upon the faith and the power of magical formulas, ordinarily compounded of the names of deities and pronounced in connection with exorcistic rites upon the bodies of the afflicted. The words themselves are supposed to have power over the demons. And a mere recital of the correct list of names is supposed to be efficacious. Ephesus, whatever that is. Efficient. I'll put it that way. Thank you. Anyway, it's supposed to work. That's what they're saying, basically. You just recite it a certain way. If you do it a certain way. Boy, I'm glad my English and everything else is all messed up, but God still uses me. That ought to prove to you that you don't have to say something right for God to use you. Amen. You don't have to pronounce something exactly perfect for God to use you. It's still, God still uses and God still gives his power. Amen. Because it's not by might nor by strength, but by his power, saith the Lord. Amen. No, you don't. But when somebody teaches it to you after you've repented, you'll understand it. You'll be like, that makes sense. That's exactly what I did.
Amen.
That's right. All right. Attention should be called again to the incantation text of the Babylonians and the Assyrians. This is from the International Bible Encyclopedia, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. This is what they recorded here, okay? Attention should be called, and again, to the incantation text of the Babylonians and the Assyrians for the translation of full exposition of text. Roger's Religion of Babylonia and Assyria. See where it comes from? It all comes from Babylon. It all goes back to Babylon. All the Catholics did was take the same Jewish rites that they were doing and the Kabbalistic things that they were doing and the Talmudian things that they were doing and the Babylonian things, and they just added it. Rome did. They just started doing the same stuff. Right. In this direction, the absurdities and cruelties of superstition have carried men to extreme lengths. In the case of Josephus, we are amazed to see how even in the case of an educated man, the most abject superstition controls his views of the subjects. Listen to this. In his in his chapter 8, verse 5, in speaking of the wisdom of Solomon, he says this, that God enabled him to learn that skill which expels demons, which is a science useful and sanitative to him. Now, all these cults go back to Solomon. A lot of them, they take things back to Solomon, the masons and everything else. They take some power, they take some things, and they say, well, Solomon was this. And Solomon did a lot of wicked things, okay? But Solomon repented of a lot of the wickedness that he'd done. But he did a lot of wicked things. But I'm not sure how much this is embellished, okay? I know Solomon did a lot of things. He had a lot of wives that did a lot of wicked things. And that part is true. We understand that from the Bible, even says that. He also describes in the same connection a cure which he alleges to have seen in the presence of Vespasian and his sons, performed in accordance with the methods of incantation ascribed to Solomon. So he's saying Solomon wrote all these spells and incantations. And that's what he used to expel demons. A ring to which was attached a kind of root mentioned by Solomon was placed at the nostrils of the demoniac, and the demon was drawn out through the nostrils. The proof that the exorcism had actually taken place was given in the overturning of a basin placed nearby. I'm going to explain that again, but that's what they say. Yeah. That's it. That's where they get that from. That's where that comes from. I'm telling you, it's some black, wicked magic. It's dark magic. Right. That's where it comes from. It all comes from the same place. In different cultures, you're going to see the same thing come up as we go talk. You're going to see some things that are similar in all these cultures. Now, none of them are part of the Word of God, but everything that they do, they're doing contrary. Whatever God has is true out there, there's always false out there. Just like yesterday, we were preaching the Word of God. There were other men preaching the Word of God and handing out tracts and preaching to those men. They had banners flying everywhere. Group from Rochester, wherever, they were all flying banners and preaching and everything else. What was the false out there? Little fowls of the air that came about and were handing out tracts to people. And one guy looks at me and he goes, yeah, so what's your guys' method out there, out here? I said, we preach. He said, well, this is what we do. We say, are you 30, 60, or 100% sure you're going to heaven? And he said, when they say they're not sure, we say, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you confess him with his mouth, you'll be saved. You want to pray with me? And we pray. We pray with them. And we've had many of them saved. That's what he said they were walking around doing. What were they doing? They're like these exorcist guys. Versus biblical deliverance, that's what they are. They're not preaching. Listen to me, friend. If you, no conviction, no salvation. Amen. Tired of that garbage. Amen. That's why you got a president of the United States that says he's saved. Oh, I'm a Christian. Sure you are. Well, you're murdering babies and everybody else around the world. Yeah, you're a Christian. Sure you are. Yeah, Just ask Billy Graham and everybody else. They'll tell you. Yeah, you are. Just ask Independent Fundamental Baptist and they'll agree with you. They'll say you are too. I mean, they would say, no, he's not. Oh, you bunch of liars. He did the same thing you're promoting. And you don't claim his, but you claim yours. You bunch of phonies. I'm so tired of them. I really have grown very weary of these phonies. I'm so sick of them. It's just ridiculous. Anyway. So this, he goes on to explain this a little bit further here about Solomon. Josephus says this in his writings. I have seen a certain man of my own country whose name was Eleazar. That's not a very good name. Anyway, releasing people that were demonical in the presence of Vespasian and his sons and his captains and the whole multitude of his soldiers. The manner of the cure was this. He put a ring that had a root of one of those sorts mentioned by Solomon in the nostrils of the demoniac. After which he drew out the demon through his nostrils. And when the man fell down, immediately he abjured him to return into him no more. Still making mention of Solomon and reciting the incantations which he composed. And when Eleazar would persuade and demonstrate to the spectators that he had such a power, he set a little way off a cup or basin full of water and commanded the demon as he went out of that man to overturn it. And thereby let the spectators know that he had left the man. And when this was done, the skill and wisdom of Solomon were shown very manifestly. What is that? It's witchcraft. First of all, you're not going to command demons to do certain things for you, okay? They're not going to be like, go make me a cup of coffee, okay? You're not going to do that, okay? You know, go grab me a pizza and get it back here, okay? All right? That's a bunch of charismatic nonsense is what that is. It's a bunch of charismatic nonsense. It's just demonic is what it is. But it's not just See, the charismaniacs, they think they got it. What they think is that they invented this, that they got this from themselves, okay? That they took some Bible verses and they figured this all out. No, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and bowed not in the truth, just like now we see, just like yesterday. A bunch of soul murders out there running around, running people through prayers, searing their conscience, making so they can never come to a decision, so they're never lost, so they're never convicted, so they never come to repentance, because you don't need to repent. He got mad when I said repent. Boy, did he get mad. I'm telling you what he did, man. He got mad. Yeah, he did. That's what witches do. Okay. The absurdities of this narrative are more than equaled by the story of exorcism told in the book of Tobit, where the liver and the heart of a fish miraculously caught are burned upon the ashes of incense, and the resulting smoke drives away a demon. So he's saying demons don't like burnt fish. Yeah, it's an apocryphal book. Yep. Yep, the book of Tobit. Yep. Apocryphal book. So that if you burn fish, they don't like that. Well, people burn food in my house all the time, so they ain't never coming around me. I'm going to tell you that right now. Gone, man. Just get near my grill. You'll be gone. They won't even want to be around there. This whole... just kidding. This whole story is well worthy of careful reading, for the light of it throws upon the unrestrained working of the imagination upon such matters. In the rabbinical writings, the very limit of disease morbidness is reached in the long and repulsive details which they give of methods used in exorcism. And you can see that, by the way, in Edersheim's Life of Times of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. I have that book. I don't know if some of you do. I probably have like 2 or 3 copies of it. Anyway, so here's another one. Exorcism in rabbinical literature. Rabbi Johanan, a contemporary of Josephus, alludes to the practice of exorcism by saying this. Has an evil spirit never entered into you? Have you never seen a person into whom an evil spirit had entered? What should be done with one so affected? Take roots of herb, burn them under him, and surround him with water, whereupon the spirit will flee. In speaking of diseases, uses the technical terms of exorcism. Simon ben Yohai, from the daughter of the Roman emperor. Anyway, so he says basically just, you know, light some things on fire and burn some herbs under them and surround them with water and the devils will go away. Right. What are they all leaving out? It has nothing to do with Jesus. Now, the more modern day ones have figured out how to use the name of Jesus to promote their agenda. But they're not really casting out by the power of God. What are they doing? It's their Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. See? It's not the same Jesus. Not the same Jesus that left. Not the same Jesus that fills your heart. Not the same one. All right, sorcery in the papyri? I don't know how to say that. Papyri? I don't know, whatever. Anyway, an interesting recipe is given in the Greek papyrus, see Dietrich. It says here, in order to drive out the demon, one must take an unripe olive together with certain plants and murmur some magic words over them. Among the words used being the Greek equivalent of the Hebraic tetragrammaton. Did I say that right? I got it! All right. Man. That's it. Brother Paul right there. Sounds like a transformer or something. I don't know what. Sounds like it should. It sounds like I would have watched that when I was a kid or something. Like it would have been like a. I don't know. Is that what it is? It just sounds like some big transformer, like Megatron or something. I don't know. Yeah, that's just really weird. But it's supposed to be the name of God, right? That's what they call it, the name of God. The Tetragrammaton. The exorcist says, go out, demon, from thereupon. A phylactery is made from a piece of tin and is hung from the neck of one possessed. The exorcist places himself in front of the possessed one and begins as follows. I conjure thee in the name of God of the Hebrews, Jesus, Jehiah. The spirit is then conjured by a god. Little case. Epithets are taken chiefly from the Bible. A shorter but similar exorcism is found in the same... How do you say that word? P-A-P-Y-R-U-S. Papyrus. Is that it? Okay, thank you. Papyrus. Compare also the Babylonian exorcism cited in Holstein's... he has a book on demonic and witchcraft and everything. Mysticism exists in all ages and it is its undercurrent, but in the 13th and following centuries, it came to the surface. While in Spain, southern France, and Italy, wide circles were opposing superstition and exorcism, German Judaism, saturated with ignorance and mysticism, adopted with other superstitious customs the exorcistic methods of working cures. The Book of the Pious states this: whoever wishes to cure one possessed must repeat the magical formula 9 times. Why 9? Because the devil likes that number, doesn't he? That's right, Satanic Bible. 9. They like that. Okay? 9 times as is done in Germany, where they count 9 knots, or else he must cure him with rods of 9 kinds of wood. Another 9. Or with turnips. Turnips. Which should be hung around the invalid. Invalid, sorry. Invalid. That's what it said. The invalid, whatever that is. Invalid. Yeah. It's invalid. Never mind. At the close of the Middle Ages and even the first centuries of the modern era, the Kabbalah contained more and more influence over people's minds. And as a consequence, the belief in exorcism increased. In 1696, a regular method for driving out demons is cited. This superstition still exists in the Hasidic circles, just as it prevails among civilized Aryans and Semites. It is a noteworthy fact that a Hebrew proselyte in older times was not exorcised at baptism. Curtis relates Semitic religion of today, that a few years ago a woman was exorcised in Palestine, and that the evil spirit, when questioned, replied that he was the spirit of a Jew murdered in Nablus 12 years before. The belief that the possessing spirit is often a soul of the wicked or a murdered person unable to find rest is frequently held. So what are they saying? So in the Kabbalistic Jews, they believe that that's a spirit of somebody. So what do we hear about that in modern day times? Don't we hear about psychics go into haunted houses, so to speak? I have a haunted house. And what do? These movies, they go inside there, these shows with these psychics, they go inside there. And what do? They say, oh, well, this is like the former owner's, you know, mother or something like that was mad because she got killed on the floor here. She had a heart attack here or I don't know. She fell out the window or something. I don't know. And then her spirit's still locked inside there. So the psychic is going to go in there and get it out, right? That's what they did to your house. That was just last week. No, I'm just kidding. It's crazy, man. No, he did. That was before you were saved, right? He went to see a psychic like that before he was saved, and they wanted to exorcise all the devils out. But what they're doing, listen to me, what they're doing is playing with devils. And they're setting you up and marking you for more devils. That's what they're doing. Now, some of you have never had any experience. You've never seen some of that demonic stuff happen. Okay? And praise the Lord, I'm glad you haven't. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something right now. The longer you battle against Satan, the more chances you are going to have of seeing those things. Because it is real. It is very real, and these devils are very evil, and they hate God, and they hate everything about you. And any doorway they could get open, they're going to open. I mean, they're going to go through if it's open. Any chance they can get to you, they're going to take it. That's just what they're going to do. And you've got to pray against these things. If it wasn't true, then God wouldn't have gave you armor. If it wasn't true, He wouldn't have told you to pray in the Spirit. If it wasn't true, He wouldn't have told you all the time, watch, be sober, watch, be sober. You want to know why America has been taken over by devils? You want to know why it has been? Because God's people are watching boxing and spending $50 a shot at watching a boxing match. That's why. That they're all excited about somebody that whispers the name of Jesus. If they just, well, they're a saint. They're up there half naked, beating their brains out, but that's all biblical, you know. God loves that. Jesus loves that. So what we have with girls walking around in that are half naked. Tell me, how have we been able to divorce our spirituality from every aspect of our life? How have we been able to do that so easy? Anyway, we'll talk about that in the next sermon, Spiritual Slumber. I got to keep moving. Exorcism in Hindu. How about that? You're going to see some similarities here. Beliefs and or practices pertaining to the practice of exorcism are prominently connected with the ancient Dravidians in the south of the former Vedas,
that's it, right? V-E-D-A-S, Vedas, right?
Holy books of the Hindus. The Veda is said to contain the secret related to magic and medicine. Many of the rituals described in this book are for casting out demons and evil spirits. These beliefs are particularly strong and practiced in West Bengal, Orissa, and southern states like Kerala. The basic means of exorcism are the mantra and the yana, used in both the Vedic and Tantric traditions. Vaishnava traditions also employ a recitation of names of the Narasimha and reading scriptures, notably, you know, from their book, the whatever that's called, the Bhagavata or whatever. I don't know how to say that. Anyway, according to these people, the reading of the third, seventh, and eighth chapter of their book and mentally offering the result of departed persons helps them to get released from their ghostly situations. A bunch of superstition. Continuous playing of mantras, keeping scripture, that's their book, not the Bible, okay, just so you understand. And holy pictures of the deities. So what do they have? Graven images. Right? Graven images. The Shiva, the Vishnu, the Brahma, and the Shakti. Paul, don't name any, we don't want to name any children those names, right? Those are kind of weird, right? Right? Shiva. I have a dog named Sheba, but not Shiva. In the house, burning incense offered during a puja? I don't know where puja is. Doesn't sound very good, though. Sprinkling water from holy rivers. So there's holy rivers. Hey, they're holy. And blowing... What's a conscious? Anybody know what that is? C-O-N-C-H-E-S. Blowing conchas used in puja are other effective practices. It is? What are they blowing? What's in it, though? What are they blowing? Like, oh, it's like a horn. Okay, so they blow that, it makes the devils go away, is what they're saying. Okay. All right. So that's in the Hindu. But really what you see is what they're doing is conjuring up devils to take care of other devils. In fact, Bill Schneblin, when he was a witch, he records in his book, Blood on the Doorpost. Is that what that book is called again? Blood on the Doorpost. He records in that when he was a witch that someone came to him and asked him if he would find out if their daughter was satanically ritually abused. A satanic ritual abuse and went through that because their grandparents brought them. She had marks all over them. She was like in a shell. She was in like this state of shock and they found out that she was abused and everything else. And these people had taken her and they asked her, they asked Bill Schneble if he could cast out the devil that was in there. Bill was a witch and they went to another witch because they thought maybe that witch had greater spirits and could cast out those spirits that were in that. So Sheva was asking, well, give me a lock of her hair, give me this, give me that, all this weird stuff. And the lady got spooked and left. After he got saved, he was like, I'm glad she didn't have us do that. You know, he said when he was a witch, he said when they were talking about that the satanic ritual abuse, he had thoughts go in his head like he wished he was a part of it. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, this... When you're dealing with devils, you don't go to devils to cast out devils. Amen. That's right. When he says evil, he means evil. That's right. It is real. Next, how about Islam? Yep, Islam has exorcism too. You're going to see that all these false religions are all the same. But Islam has it. In the name of Allah, they say, who is great, who is the great beneficent and most merciful. Exorcism is a... He ain't very merciful. He's not very... Kind of not very merciful when they went into Mecca and killed everybody. Then they killed Jews along. Muhammad did. He kills the Jews along the train. Wasn't very merciful. Allah there. Most merciful. Exorcism is a practice to demolishing, removing, or curing a person or a place from a demon, evil, jinn, and their effects, also called as ghosts, devils, spirits, Satan, etc. There are many religious healers practicing exorcism according to their religion, like Muslim, Christian, Jew, Hindu, and Buddhist. Exorcism in Islamic way is called the I think it's called Rukya, which is Arabic, includes specific verses of the Holy Quran, and all lawful incantations. Well, how about that? Muhammad had some incantations that he got from Allah. Muhammad used to go in his demonic fits, and he used to fall down in an epileptic rage in a fit, which means you had a demon in you, by the way. And he fell down there, and then he got a revelation from God that he could take somebody's wife, kind of like Joseph Smith did. He did the same thing. Why? Because they're of the same spirit. That's why. All lawful incantations. By the way, this shows you the contrast of the Word of God. Let me teach you something here real quick when these people try to compare what they believe with the Word of God. What did God do to David when he pulled some garbage like that? What did he do to him? Judged him swiftly and fiercely. He said he judged him a fourfold judgment that went on David when David took another man's wife. When David went and said, oh, well, you know, come up to me, and he brought Bathsheba up to him, and he killed it, and he killed her husband. Did God honor that? No, he didn't. He said, the sword shall not depart from thine house. Judgment came on David. His firstborn, the baby that was born was ended. The life was ended. Why? Because he sinned against God, and he caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme his name. Now, what contrast that with Muhammad? Muhammad's okay with all, Allah is okay with all that. Allah, remember, he could just fall down in a trance and say he wanted your wife. If you didn't give it to him, he'd kill you. And some probably didn't, and he killed them. That's how it works. So that's the difference in the two. All right. Anyway, so the lawful incantations that Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us in Hadith. I'm sorry, I'm just reading what they have here. There is no peace to the wicked. That's right. These all lawful incantations in Quran verses, termed as the Rukah, it is based on an authentic hadith, Imam Muslim, reported in Sahih Muslim, which Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, I can't help but think, so annoying. Anyway, present to me, Muhammad said this, present to me those who provide curing by the way of the Rukah. There is no objection with it as long as it does not contain any polytheism. Disease or sickness in any human body can be a result of medical, psychological, or paranormal reason caused by demon, magic, or evil eye that reflects as medical disorders in any human. The evil eye. Yeah. Medical treatments are beneficial and helpful while treating disease that caused by medical and psychological disorders. According to Islamic healing, Islamic exorcism, healer who is practiced can, mashallah, not only gracefully treat paranormal disorders caused by demon, black magic, or evil eye, but all kind of deadly medical diseases, as mentioned in the Holy Quran. We, Allah, sent down in the Quran that is a healing and mercy for those for who do believe. There are a few narrations that Muhammad, and his followers expelled devils, beings from the human bodies of believers using Quran verses. Supplications to Allah and holy Zamzam water. They have holy Zamzam water. I can't read something like that really, you know, without holy Zamzam water. That's going to be like a phrase you're going to say now. Holy Zamzam water. What was that? Right? Okay, well, this is a story that Muhammad did, okay? This is his Zamzam exorcism. I saw Muhammad, peace be upon him, please be upon him. Please be upon him. Do three things, and none of us before or after me saw. I don't know why he said that, but that's what he said. I was traveling with him on the way. We passed by a woman sitting at the roadside with a boy. She called out to Muhammad, please be upon him, O messenger of Allah, my boy is afflicted with a trial, and from him we have also been afflicted with a trial. Many times per day he is seized by fits. Muhammad said, give him to me, and she lifted up to Muhammad. And he, Muhammad, placed the boy between middle of the saddle and himself, opened his mouth, and flew in it three times. Yeah, he just flew inside. Three times, not just once, three times.
This was great research when I was going through this. So he just flew in his mouth three times. That's what he did. And then, hold on. Let's see here. He flew in his mouth three times. Flew in it three times with saying, I am slave of Allah. Get out, enemy of Allah. Then he gave the boy back to his mother and said, meet us when we return to the same place and inform me how he is. When he returned, we found her at the same place with three sheep, messenger of Allah. Asked, how is she? How is he, sorry. She replied, by Allah, who sent you with truth, we have not seen anything in his behavior up to this time. So apparently, you know, jumping into his mouth was enough to cast the devil out. Now, none of that is scriptural, right? As you continue to look at this, we don't see anything from the Bible. We don't see anything that even remotely. And we also see a kind of a partnership with evil, incantations being said in certain phrases of words that have to be said certain ways. And if they're not said those certain ways, if things aren't said that way, then it doesn't happen. All right. Now, Rome talks about the same thing, Roman Catholicism. By the way, there was an article a few, I think it was about a year ago, I want to say. This is on a Catholic website, but anyway, it talks about a fascinating story. I'm not going to get into it really, but of Francis talking about exorcism and everything, and now they're trying to push exorcism more. This Pope is trying to push exorcism more, he says. What's that? Yeah. They want, like, they have 500 exorcists total, and they want to increase those and get more of them out there. Now, why is that? What are they doing? Well, they work with devils. That's what they do. That's what the Pope does, okay? That's who he is. So, what's that? They have a huge payroll in Rome. They do. But when you make your money by stealing people's fortunes and on their deathbed taking their money away from their lands and everything else. Yeah, that's how it works. All right. Here's what Roman Catholicism says. Possession is not lightly to be taken for granted. Each case is to be carefully examined and great caution to be used in distinguishing genuine possession from certain forms of disease. The priest who undertakes the office should be himself a holy man of a blameless life, intelligent, courageous, humble. He has to be intelligent. Yeah, he has to be intelligent too. And he should be a Jesuit. And he should prepare for the work by special acts of devotion and mortification. Does that mean they got to whip themselves first? By the way, that's a sure sign you've got something wrong with you when you're trying to beat yourself, just so you know. It's just demonic activity when you try to hurt yourself. It does? Beat your body and make it your slave. Yeah, that's not, the NIV is not a good translation, that's for sure. Anyway, so they're beating, you know, they beat themselves. By the way, the Bible talks about those that cut themselves. You see all the rise of all these young people cutting themselves and everything. It's demonic activity. What do you expect? You put wicked movies in front of your kids. You have them go watch occultic things. You put them out in a wicked world and you let them indulge themselves in wickedness, and more wickedness comes across their TV than anything you could ever imagine. And you don't expect it's going to have any impact on them? You think it's not going to have any impact on them? It's not going to affect them? Like the devil's going to leave them alone or something? When you're inviting them in? Quit inviting them in. All right, he says here that he should prepare for the work by special acts of devotion and mortification, particularly by prayer and fasting, he said. He should avoid in the course of the rite everything that savors of superstition. That's all they do. And should leave the medical aspects of the case to qualified physicians. He should admonish the possessed in so far as the latter is capable to dispose himself for the exorcism by prayer and fasting, confession and communion, while the rite is in progress, to excite within himself a lively faith in God's goodness and a patient resignation of his holy will, to his holy will. The exorcism should take place in the church or some other sacred place. So the building is sacred. You see what they do? Listen, folks, we can meet in the field and have the power of God right there and is with us. We don't need a building. There's nothing holy about the building. We should meet in the building. It should be done in the church. Well, the church is the people. All right? The church is the people, not the building. Right. Should take place in the church or some other sacred place, if convenient.
But if on account of sickness or for other legitimate reasons, it takes place in a private house, witnesses, preferably members of the family, should be present. This is especially enjoined as a measure of precaution in case the subject is a woman.
There's a reason for that, but we'll talk about that later. All idle and curious questioning of the demon should be avoided, and the prayers and aspirations should be read with great faith, humility, and fervor, and with a consciousness of power and authority. The Blessed Sacrament is not to be brought near the body of the obsessed during exorcism for fear of possible irreverence.
So what are they afraid of? They don't want that host to be brought near the body of that person.
That's their God, that's right.
But the crucifix, holy water, and where available, relics of the saints are to be employed. So what are they saying? The Catholics believe you set up these statues. Oh, we seen it yesterday. Look on my Facebook page, you'll see the videos. They're going through there and they got a statue. They got big pictures of Mary. By the way, that's the spirit that reigned over that event, just so you know. Don't believe me? Go look at the video while we're preaching. Right where we're preaching, we didn't even know it, so I looked over there and seen it. Right there was a mural of that same image of Mary. Not Mary, the Queen of Heaven. But that image of the Queen of Heaven, that's the spirit that presided over that whole event, by the way. And you can see it. And in that picture, this Queen of Heaven is being held up, and she's got all this glowing stuff. And underneath it, there's a baby Jesus holding up Mary. What is that? That's the spirit that resided over that whole event. That's what that is. They're just showing you who they serve. They're showing you what that was all about. When you have all these people, why do you think when we were at that Catholic event, at that abortion event, and then the Catholics are on the other side protesting abortion by walking around in circles and chanting weird, scary, spooky things? Why do you think they were throwing holy water on us? They had a bottle with a picture of the Queen of Heaven on it. I'm not going to call it Mary because it's not Mary. The Queen of Heaven on it, right? And they were throwing holy water on me and Nate. They thought we had devils in us. Paul didn't get any, so. You got some? You did. You got some. You got some Zamzam water? All right, you got it. That's right. You got some of that Zamzam water. If expulsion of the evil spirit is not obtained at once, the rite should be repeated, if need be, several times. The exorcist should be vested in surplice and violet stole. That's that purple thing that he has on, I think. I don't know why he has to have that on, but. Apparently he has to have that on. All right. But there's an article, I'm not going to go into that right now, but there is an article online that talks about, Pope Francis talks about some things about exorcism and things like that, what they're doing, what they're involved in. And he said that this one man said he witnessed an exorcism on a plane. There were these two women that were supposedly possessed on a plane, that they were lesbians and they were kissing each other, and they were doing it in front of him. And then he was doing like a low-level exorcism by praying. He said, and he was praying against what their Pope just said was okay. I mean, anyway, but remember, he just said it was okay. He said they'll still go to heaven. Yeah, who am I to judge? He said. Anyway, but so he talks about how he witnessed that, and you know there was some growling and some other things going on and just some weird stuff. They said that this woman, those exorcists have come over to her house like 10 times. And each time it gets a little better, they said. But over the years, she's been possessed for like 10 years. Why? Well, first of all, they're playing with devils. That's why. They're just playing with them. They're talking to them. They're playing with them. They're telling them what to do. They're telling them. They're doing everything they say they don't do. That's what they're doing because you see it in their actions. You're not going to cast out devils by playing with them. That's not biblical deliverance. You're not going to do it by magic rites and holy water and all this other stuff. Zamzam water. Come on, if you can't figure out that Rome started Islam, I mean, man, I don't know how you could be helped because it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same spirit. Everything's the same about it. Just the names are different. That's all. Okay, according to Catholic belief, demons or fallen angels retain their natural power as intelligent beings of acting on the material universe and using material objects and directing material forces for their own wicked ends. And this power, which is in itself limited and is subject, of course, to the control of divine providence, is believed to have been allowed a wider scope for its activity in the consequence of the sin of mankind. Hence, places and things as well as persons are naturally liable to diabolical infestation within limits permitted by God, and exorcism in regard to them is nothing more than a prayer to God in the name of His church. They capitalize that, His church, because they're talking about Rome. To restrain the diabolical power supernaturally, and a profession of faith in His willingness to do so on behalf of His servants on earth. The chief things formally exercised in blessing are water, salt, oil, and these in turn are used in personal exorcisms and in blessings or consecrated places in church buildings and objects, altars, sacred vessels, and church bells. Apparently, devils don't like bells ringing. Oh. Connected with public worship or intended for private devotion. Holy water, the sacramental with which the ordinary faithful are most familiar, is a mixture of exercised water and exercised salt, and in the prayer of blessing. God is besought to endow the material elements with the supernatural power of protecting those who use them with faith against all the attacks of the devil. You see what they're trusting in? They're trusting in some water. Not Jesus, not the Word of God, not the power of God, but what? Some relic, some water, some salt, something else. This kind of indirect exorcism by means of exorcised objects is an extension of the original idea, but introduces no new principle, and it has been used in the church from the earliest ages. Wait a minute. So you see the swerve they just did? They said, we just added, the principles are there in the Bible to have holy water that's sanctified, you know. So, I mean, it's holy water, so it has power to cast out devils. Where do you see that in the Bible at all? Nowhere. Oh, but it's there. No, it's not. The principle's not even there for it. You don't see that anywhere in the scriptures at all. They made it up. They added to it. They have what's called a baptismal exorcism. At an early age, the practice was introduced into the church of exorcising catechumens as a preparation for the sacrament of baptism. This did not imply that they were considered to be obsessed like demoniacs, but merely that they were, in consequence of original sin and of personal sins in the case of adults, subject more or less to the power of the devil, whose works or pomps they were called upon to renounce and form, and from whose dominion the grace of baptism was about to deliver them. So what they say, they baptize the babies, they baptize adults, they sprinkle them or whatever. What were they doing? They were exorcising devils out of them, they said. So they did what was called baptismal exorcism. Now, in closing, there's some things from Alberto's life story here that you can see. Alberto was a Jesuit priest, okay? And he was a Jesuit priest, and he got saved. All right, if you ever read, I don't know if you ever read Chick Tracts before or anything like that. You ever read some of those, Brother John? Alberto, he was a Jesuit priest that got born again. Now, some people try to, and he got out of the Roman Catholic Church, so some people try to deny whether or not his story is real, his story is legit. However, when you see the things that he said, everything that he mentioned can be documented by other sources. And by the way, has happened. A lot of things that he reported on that would take place did take place already after his death. And he had a mysterious death. Was he poisoned or ran over by a car? Poisoned. He was poisoned, which is the Jesuits' number one way to kill somebody. They like poisoning people. They poisoned many presidents, by the way, on July 4th, a couple of them, on Independence Day. A couple made it to, what was that one, Lucius, that made it longer? Yeah, see? He's like you. He just keeps, anyway. That's right. He died July 9th. He made it out longer. But his physician, there's even evidence to believe that George Washington was poisoned by them. So there's a lot of evidence for that anyway. But that's their favorite method. If you read the Jesuits' protocols, that's their favorite method of killing people. That's how they do it. Sir, what's that? It is cleaner, yeah, but they die a horrific death depending on the amount of poison you give them. One pope, they poisoned one pope that excommunicated them, but then signed a papal bull or whatever to bring them back and reinstate them. And after he reinstated them, they killed them.
right? That was the one, I think. Or was it the, you know, I can't remember. There's been a few that they poisoned. But anyway, they poisoned him so slowly that he said, I knew they were going to get me, but I just didn't think they would be so cruel. Because they poisoned him over weeks, like he didn't die right away. He was just in, his whole inside of his body was rotting out. Yeah, anyway, so the Jesuits, obviously, once he defected from the Jesuits and once he got saved, see, he wasn't like Adam Weishaupt or whatever you want to call him, the head of the Bavarian Illuminati, who just started another order, still under Rome, by the way. That's who started the Illuminati, was Adam Weishaupt. He was a Jesuit priest. He taught in the Jesuit schools, anyway, and he taught theology in Jesuit schools, okay? But Alberto was different. He broke free. He got saved. And he started preaching and warning everybody about it. Just like Charles Chiniquy was a priest that got saved and started warning Abraham Lincoln and everybody else. He said, man, they're going to kill you. That day that he got Chiniquy off of his charges, he was in a courtroom and Lincoln said to him, and he was happy and Chiniquy was crying. He goes, why are you crying? You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you so upset? He goes, because there's no less than, what do you say, like 10 men in the room or something like that that have the, that's, see, it's amazing. Five or six Jesuits, right, that have the look of death on their face. That's what he said. That's what he said to them. He said, right there, they're going to kill you. They will get you eventually. And what did they do? They did. Now, listen, I'm no fan of Lincoln. I understand what he did. It's a mixed bag of goods, really it is, in a lot of ways. But this is what happened. Anyway, so Alberto talks about before he was saved, when he was a Jesuit priest, he talks about going into this place. He says, and he goes into this place to do exorcism. He says, he said, when I arrived in the village, instead of finding the priest, I was met by a sacristan, the priest helper. Where is the father? He went ahead and is waiting for us, Father Rivera. I don't like this. He should have waited for me. Now, see, he was asked to help with the local priest because as a Jesuit, I was well trained in the study of exorcism in the spirit realm. See, if you understand anything about Jesuits, which many of you don't, okay, know a lot about them. But if you understand anything about them, you understand Ignatius Loyola's spiritual exercises, okay, where... I mean, these guys levitate. They do all kinds of stuff, okay? They do all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, Ignatius Loyola, he, like, broke his leg, wasn't it? And he broke it, and he reset it himself, like, five times. He was insane with nothing. No anesthesia or no, nothing to kill or numb anything. No painkillers or nothing. I mean, he was just crazy. They were crazy people. Devil-possessed. Anyway, so... where is the priest? And he goes in there, and he's going inside, and he said, I'm here, and he said he could hear the shrieks outside. He says the procession started from the church of the home of Carmen Montes. When the people saw their way for God being carried in the monstrance, all the traffic stopped in reverence. They knew that either someone had died or it was for an exorcism. So they got this train, and they got that weird image like you see. The Pope carry around, or you see other people carry around. They've got this monstrous, and they've got the way for God in there, and they're walking around with it, and everybody's, like, stopping around them. The people got out of their cars and knelt, making the sign of the cross, because they believed that Jesus Christ himself was passing in front of them in the form of the little wafer. They were terrified of offending their way for God, the priest, or their church. Okay? So he goes inside, and he says, Father Rivera, look, the door is opening. He's covered with blood. Is he dead? So basically, he said, I was spun like a top to the ceiling by this devil. Something cut my vestments in shreds in 3-inch horizontal strips. The scene inside was a nightmare. The daughters were off the floor, floating in the air at great speed, vomiting a green substance. But even in its full fury, the force never went near Margarita. I heard some screams and laughter. A raging wind was screeching and blowing all the furniture around the room. Chairs were exploding. I dropped to the floor. I was covered with foam and green slime. As I tried to bless the house with holy water, Margarita's aunt suddenly screamed, Father, you have no crucifix. She struggled across the floor and grabbing a pair of scissors, formed a cross with them. The force immediately moved into another room. What'd you say? It is a movie. I mean, it is. That's where they got it from. Rome. That's where every exorcism you see on television, there's always a priest that walks in a uniform. He's got his, and he always looks like some wimpy little dude. And he's got like this crucifix, this holy water, and the devils are spanking his rear end like he's nothing, you know, like he's just some punk that walked in the room. And what's that designed to do?
So you don't believe that God has power that can give you power that he promised you, that he gave you, like we talked about, that spiritual power and authority over devils and everything else. That's why. To discourage us, make a mockery of what God does. That's what exorcism is about today, modern day exorcism. That's all it is. Anyway, so he says here that, Father, you have no crucifix. She struggled to the floor. She grabbed the scissors, formed a cross with them. The force immediately moved into another room. At that time, all those assisting me came through the front door. I grabbed the crucifix, started my Latin prayers. As soon as I started praying, the girls dropped to the floor. The ear-splitting noise of screams and laughter continued. I then took the host, the wafer god, and gave the first one to Marguerite because she was the center of all this activity. Once all of them had taken the host, the voices slowly disappeared. The house was in shambles. At long last, the force was gone. Were they really souls of the dead? No, they were demons. Did the host and the crucifix really drive away the force? No. It was all a devilishly clever scheme by Satan to make the people rely more and more on their priests for protection and cost them their souls. And all that stuff does is enslave them. That's what it does. It's designed to enslave them. To their masters. Who does that? Satan. And the popes and all the other, they work together. There's more that can be said about that. But they work together with those devils. And they work together to keep those people enslaved. Because first of all, the devils don't hate Roman Catholicism. What does the Bible say about Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots? Was it the cage of every unclean spirit? Isn't it? Right? It's the hold of every foul spirit and unclean bird, right? It's right there. It's the hold of it all. Sure, they don't care. They don't care if you pretend to cast out devils back and forth and do all this. Why do you think that lady's had 10 times exorcisms done to her in that article that I talked about and never been delivered from it? Why? Because it keeps them depending on that priest. Keeps them depending on Rome and keeps them in hell. So they're going to die and go to hell. And the devils are happy about that. They don't care. See, this is that false exorcism. That's not biblical deliverance of devils. And that's not the power of God. It's a big show that's put on. We'll talk about maybe a little bit more some other time about this. But it's a big show that is put on. So people, it's a big attraction. I mean, there's ministries out there now that they put on YouTube their deliverance stuff that they do. The so-called deliverance or exorcism that they do. And they're using like, you know, different relics and different things. It's like a showmanship. They're talking to devils. They're having conversations with them. They're like asking the devils their name. Like, what's your name? What do you want, his phone number? What's the matter with you? You don't talk to devils. You rebuke them. Don't talk to devils like that. You don't ask, what's your name and what are you doing here? What's your problem anyway? Why are you so mad? Right? I don't care what you're here for. I want you to leave. I don't care what you're here for. I don't care to know who you are. The only thing you're doing by the blood of Jesus Christ is leaving. I'm not going to have any conversation with you, wicked devils. I mean, but this is all a sham so you won't believe the Bible. So you'll look at Rome and you'll look at everything else. These phony exorcisms. You'll look at that Hollywood dramatization of everything. In fact, when someone is expelling devils or something, it shouldn't be that dramatic of a situation. It should be very controlled. It should have been prayed over for a long time. It should have been fasted over. And then when you're going in there and you know somebody's like that, it shouldn't be this big dramatic thing. God gave us the power over that. It shouldn't be that way. It should be very simple, very easy. Not easy as in it may not be any challenge there, but it should be simple to follow what the Bible says. It shouldn't be this big dramatic thing that gives place to the devil. That brings honor to him or something. It shouldn't be that way. Anyway, so that's just a little bit of the history of exorcism and just what has been taught there. You can see it's all witchcraft. You can see it's all playing with devils. It's not biblical. And that's why Jesus, what he said to that, or I mean Paul, what he said to them, and those devils tore them up. Why? Why did those devils tear them up so bad? Because they were phony exorcists. And they were doing it, and they were trying to do it in the name of Paul's God. And God allowed those devils to tear them up because you don't have any power of God on you. You can't do that unless you're born again, walking in the Spirit of God and have His power. Amen? Then the Bible says you have authority. What's that? Yeah, they took on. That's right. They took it on themselves. That's not of God. Amen? So anyway, Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'd help us with this understanding of this, Lord, so we can help others. And because there's people out there that really don't understand the power of God. They really don't understand what God does in the life of people and how he does things, Lord, and how he works and how he will deliver from devils. And how he's called us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, to drive the devils out, Lord, and to drive them far from the work of God. Help us, Lord, to do that today. Bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to take a little bit of time here, about 5 minutes, then we'll get back.